Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Jacob, Aki. How are you two doing?
I am good, because I am alive currently. Anyways.
Currently?
Yeah.
Are you planning on dying later today?
You never know. You know, it's just good to be prepared.
You might have some fun, you know, might just drop dead, you know, just for shits and giggles.
My afternoon's looking kind of busy. I might have to squeeze that in.
Might have to murder myself. It's okay.
Anyway, we have a guest joining us this week to what? Oh, you wanted to say how you're doing?
Yes.
Nathan, do you care how he's doing?
I'd love to hear how Jacob's doing.
Okay. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm a little sleep deprived and nervous. I actually have to bounce out of the show a little early. I don't know, Nathan, I don't know if Joe told you. I have a job interview.
No, you didn't tell me. Where are you getting a job interview with? What?
So it's this company that essentially I'd be like a business English teacher for South Korean business people.
Is this about ordering wives?
You know, like Joe and I were joking, like, you know, if this is just like the South Korean version of OnlyFans, like, I'll just go, this isn't nervous. What I signed up for, but whatever. Like, all right.
Can I wear pasties?
So,
that's exciting, man.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean,
awesome. You're speaking English right now. It's pretty good.
I can thank you. I mean, I've been speaking English all my life. So I feel like I am a little prepared for this. But yeah, the best part is like they were asking like, you know, oh, well, what time works for you? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll just see what time it is over in South Korea. Like, because they were giving me like Korean standard time version of like their times. And I'm like, okay, and I'll just see what that equals out to like Eastern Standard Time. And I've totally forgot that this thing called the International Dateline exists. And so, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could totally do this interview on September 2nd, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's September 1st over here. So I accidentally scheduled the damn thing during the podcast.
Congrats.
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, which is going to be great, especially if they're like, oh, yeah, we think he's qualified to, you know, teach business people stuff, especially if he doesn't know how time zones work. So
and then he just never comes back. Like, I'm done with these people.
Yeah. So this will be fun.
By the way, the person interviewing Jacob tonight is Nathan from Mommy's Best Games. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, everybody. How's it going? It's good to be here.
Good to have you back on. We love having you here. You got a new project coming. What's going on? What's new in Mommy's Best Games land?
We have the most Xbox game coming out. It's the most Xbox. It's called Game Type DX. So I've done several of the DX remasters, right? The deluxe editions for Weapon of Choice and Shoot One Up and Explosion Aid. This is the fourth and final one. Game Type was the original game, and it's coming out to Xbox One on September 8th.
It's hitting other platforms too, isn't it? Or is it just Xbox?
I mean, it's hitting the best platform, but it's also hitting the other ones too. It's hitting Nintendo Switch and Xbox One on September 8th, and it's hitting PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 a few weeks later, possibly a month later, because the game is so Xbox. Sony,
like, do you have
that's not a joke. Sony could not handle it. I had to tone it down.
You, what kind, can you say, like, what kind of edits sure. you had to made? You had to
well,
make to
let me give the quick spiel to anybody that doesn't know what my extremely weird game is.
Yeah, we should get the basics first.
Yeah, the basics. So you definitely, I think they'll definitely like it if they like action games at all, especially if you like game history, like events, you know, E3 shows. If you like really silly, nerdy game jokes, you're going to like this game. Even though it looks weird, you should try it out. It's called Game Type DX. So it is a shoot 'em up, but it's a high score shoot 'em up, and there's a lot of accessibility to it. So you can, it can handle people that are really good, but also if you suck at them, it's still really funny and fun to try out. So here's the weird part of the game. It simulates the Xbox 360 dashboard. So... yeah, it looks like just like the Xbox 360 dashboard, but it's so. What happened at the time was when we were on Xbox Live Indie Games on the Xbox 360 back in 2011. Microsoft
in the old
got
days.
In ye olden days, right? 11 years ago in 2011, 11 years ago. It's weird.
Oh, my back hurts.
I know. I don't know. I can look at pictures of myself. I can't believe I was that young back then.
It's only, you were 11 it feels years like, younger back then.
It, I know. It doesn't feel 11 years. It feels like 2.5. Kind of feel like 2.5 years ago, I'd say it was 2011. Anyway, I'm going to like blame it on COVID.
Yeah.
So what happened at the time was Microsoft put out a dashboard update. And you guys were playing back then. And in the industry, it was a big deal because we were freaking like losing our crap, like on the indie side of things. But when we were trying to release, you know, indie games on the Xbox 360, they put out a dashboard update that literally buried games on the dashboard.
Yeah.
They put music first, videos first, like talk and chat. Everything was a tab feature ahead of games. But then it got better. That is to say worse. It got worse. They put, there was featured spots, but there was a single little tile that you had to click on called Game Type, and that's where you found Xbox Live Arcade. You found direct to digital games. You found indie games. They put everything, all their digital games back then, under one single stupid tile, and the tile had a picture of a girl in a hoodie doing a jump kick. It was just garbage insanity. Like, it was, you know, like waking up from a dream. You couldn't believe it. So I quickly put together this satire game. This
pure simulation.
Yes.
Pure
this,
sim.
This pure sim. Like, yeah, it was made to like bring attention to how stupid it was to be able to find games back then on the dashboard. You know what I mean? And that was where our money was coming from at the time on the Xbox 360. We had not yet expanded out to the other consoles. So I was, you know, and a lot of people hadn't either. They were freaking out. So we put out this game. And it made fun of the system. It made fun of all the ads. So it's kind of twofold. There was tons of ads and games got buried. And that's when, you know, I got really mad about it. So I came up with this idea that in this new game that I was making, we made an entire version of the Xbox 360 dashboard. And in it were fake, silly ads. And then you fought the ads in the shoot 'em up. So like you can goof off on the dashboard for, you know, a minute or two or however long you want and look at all and read all the silly stuff. But the meat of the game is playing the shoot 'em up. But the cool part is it references all the silly ad jokes we make back in the dashboard. So that's where all, there's okay. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna see, you know, chime in all three of you if you remember this. I guess it wasn't even called a meme back then. It was just an event, a situation, a joke. Do you remember crack the shells for massive damage?
Yes.
No.
You know, attack the weak point for massive damage.
Yeah, attack the weak point. Okay.
Oh wait, that was the giant crab thing.
Yeah. The giant crab thing. Oh my gosh, it was so
scale
funny.
Bound.
Yes,
I wanted that game, no, and then they was, canceled it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's scale bound. It might have been.
No, it was.
It wasn't scale bound.
It was a PlayStation game. It was
a PlayStation game, and the main man goes out. And
bug me. I know what the game is.
We'll look it up. We'll look it up. He goes out to a full like press, you know, room at E3, and he's like, it's a fully realistic, completely historically correct military simulation. So let's look at these giant crabs.
And everybody's like, Genji,
what?
On the PS3.
What was it called?
Genji?
Yeah. Yes, yes, good job. Thank you. Yes. So that was it. Just went downhill from there. He's just like, it's perfectly realistic military history. And here's these giant crabs. You guys want to attack? Attack the shells for massive damage. Or, you know, attack the weak point. And everybody just lost their minds because it was so dumb. So
when the heck did this happen?
2011, 2010.
I'm like, what the heck was I doing then? Because like, I don't remember any of this.
It was it was Sony's disastrous E3 presentation.
It was a really bad one. And it was like PlayStation 4, right? Like
no, it was PS3.
PS3?
Yeah.
When was that? 20?
PS3 launch.
Oh, yeah, it would have been 20, but it PS3. Just remember back to when, like, you know, there was less internet and you would watch all the events. You know what I mean? They would have those big videos and you'd watch the whole thing and Elijah Wood would be in it, you know, in some random thing. And like Tony Hawk would go, dude, yo. And, you know, now they don't anymore. But
it was the same E3 presentation as Ridge Racer.
Oh, gosh. That was the worst.
I remember that.
Yeah. And he just goes, Ridge Racer. And it's just silence. And everyone's like, Ridge Racer. He says it again. Silence. It was a good one. So anyway,
this was 2006.
Okay, so my jokes are a little late. I thought it was funny. You know what I mean? I still put it into 2011.
I'm just like, okay, that explains more why I didn't why I don't remember this.
What were you doing in 2006?
Very, very. Like,
is that why?
Well, literally, that is actually what I refer to as my lost year.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Because I have a year of college where I was like getting baked so much. By the end of the year, by the end of the school year, you could have a conversation with me and reference something that had happened 30 minutes ago, and I'd have no fucking clue what you were talking about.
Wow.
Like it was bad. It was real fucking bad. And of course, like when I came home, my parents were like, oh, he's just so burned out from finals and stuff like that. And I'm like,
oh shit.
Yeah, man, it's finals. Yeah, that's man, they were so stressful. Yep.
He's not burned out. He's baked out. But
yeah. So yeah, this explains much of why I don't remember this one. Okay.
Continue. So, no, I wanted to pull in the most well-known, silliest kind of jokes that I thought were funny in game history. And so we put I can't remember who it was, Yu Hashido, or who was running the event at that thing. We put him in, he runs his own restaurant now in the game. And he said, crack the shells for massive damage. And so it's a crab restaurant. That's one of the jokes in there, you know, one of the fake ads. And then later on in the game, in Game Type, in the shoot 'em up, you fight these giant crabs. And there's also the main silly thing in there is a lot of it, some of it references game history and some of it's just pure silliness, like reality TV. There's a channel called Cat Chat, and it's, you know, it's all cat hosted shows all the time. So Cat Chat.
Which leads to the first big boss in the game.
That's right.
Who I can beat.
Yeah, dude. Nice. Good job, you. Yeah, so, and the Cat Chat boss is in there. And so the shoot 'em up part is more of a high score thing. So it's not like a progression, like you beat 8 levels and you're done. So the Cat Chat boss kind of shows up every 3rd level and he kind of morphs and has different attacks and stuff. But yeah, so there's a lot of silly jokes in there like that. There's an SUV you can buy. There's, you know, but in the ads and stuff like that. So. We had fun making up all the jokes. And the new DX version, now you can click on every single tile and get a joke about the ad itself. Like there's more goofy text in the when you click on them. Because at the time when I was trying to ship it, I was trying to ship the game to match to get it out as fast as possible to raise awareness at the time to change the dashboard, which we did. Microsoft actually changed the dashboard in part because of the game. Because that's we got awesome. Attention. Like Eurogamer covered it, you know, a bunch of sites covered it at the time. So I got word from people internally at Microsoft who, you know, can't say who, but like people working in that scene, and they said, oh yeah, it mattered. You know, it helped. It wasn't the only thing, but it definitely helped. So anyway, yeah, it was fun, and I'm proud of the game because it's like one of the few like kind of games that's I call it a protest game, like it. It tries to get something done, like an activism game. So even though it's kind of silly, it's within the industry itself, but it did work.
You brought change to the industry.
I know. I'm serious, man. I was really proud of that. So
now the industry is bringing change to your game. You know, to release it on other platforms, like what kind of changes did you have to make? Did you have to remove any actual mentions of the word Xbox? Because I know on the Xbox version, you have a statement where you explain everything. And
that was a good callback. Good way to bring it back. And yes, I do. We had to change a whole bunch of stuff. Like, not to the point that it's like incredible or anything or really interesting, but a whole bunch of boring things like, I couldn't say Xbox 360, but not only that, I can't even say the word dashboard.
Really?
Like, that's a fairly generic word. And they're like, nah, they said that's a competitor's term. And I'm like, it's a word. Like, Xbox 360 I get, but dashboard? And they're like, no, it clearly references the competitor's platform. And so we had to change that. And we had to change, this is funny. Okay, here's another throwback. Now, this is, Jacob, this is more back to 2011, 2010. Okay. And I don't know if you guys, Aki, I don't know if you all played any of the Xbox Live indie games from long ago on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Some, not much, but yeah.
Okay. I know, like, our games were of sterling quality. Some things in there were not so great. But that was fun that everybody got to put their games out. So there was a kind of a very select little sub category of games that crept up on there, and they were vibration games. Vibrator
sounds like a good one.
Yeah,
what's that? I was gonna say, I actually remember when that like went down because I managed to grab the one that like made the biggest hubbub before yes! Microsoft removed it, because that was all over the Xbox message boards at the time, and I thought I had gotten rid of it, and then I was going through my Xbox 360 hard drives because like I'm trying to like get all my downloaded games like together in one place and shit like that, and it turns out I still have it. But yeah, it was supposed to be like, oh yeah, it's a massage thing, like, you know, you put the controller on your neck.
Yes, they called it a massage thing, and then somebody just like kind of went for it and said, no, it's for your girlfriend or something. So we put a Valentine's Day controller, you know, massage game in one of the fake ads. And they're like, Tony's like, no. And I said, oh, come on.
They don't have a sense of humor at all.
I don't think there's bots working there, but it felt like it. Because I was just like, appealing to them, you know, it was almost like, I just want to check with you guys at Sony. Do you understand what this is? Like, I mean, you know, like, it's a joke. Yeah, it's a funny thing.
We're making fun of the other guys, right? We're making fun of them.
That's what felt weird to me. It was like, you get that we were mocking Microsoft. And by the way, they were cool about just basically everything in Game Type DX on the Xbox One. We had I don't think we had any problems, really. I think we talked about it with them a little bit, but I don't think we had any serious problems. So, controller massage 360, and I've got like a little hearts drawn on it and stuff. That was the fake game, the little fake ad in Game Type DX in the new dashboard. And Sony says, so first of all, you can't say 360. I'm like, come on. They're like, no. I said, okay, fine. You know what? It's called controller massage 720. Then they're like, you can't have the controller look like that. I'm like, fine, I'll take off. It's sort of like, I don't know if it's porn, but I know it when I see it. So I was doing that thing where I'm like, what if I remove this button? They're like, no. I'm like, what if I remove one more button? They're like, no. And I was like, what if I remove this little, control stick? They're like, I don't know anymore. I can't. Okay, good. Just leave. So I just kind of pushed it until we could
get it. I mean, that's one way to do it.
We just kept going down the line. So there was that one, and there was a couple other little things like that, but they were amazing sticklers. Like when they said, you can't say 360. Like the number 360 can't show up in my game. They're like, no.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. That just a friggin' awesome number.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, I thought it was all fun and games, but honestly, we've been trying to get this game approved since July by Sony.
You should have had, because they wouldn't let you say 360, you should have had something in there called turn around like an idiot no scope just because you can't say 360. Yeah. Just to be like, this is stupid. Here you go.
I agree. I mean, yeah, so that, like I said, I would be
for when you're not with- near your loved one, but your controller is.
There's the, I tried to have as much fun as we could with all the jokes in there.
I just pulled it up on the on my Xbox so I could reference like the ads that you had. Like I love everything in this game. I spent so much time looking at all the ads, and I somehow missed this one. I just wish. The controller would vibrate the whole time you're looking at that ad.
Oh, dude, if we do an update, I will do that for you. We'll probably get called as a bug. It'll probably be like, the controller vibrates now on this thing. Yeah, like if you select it, that would be awesome. That would be so funny. It's so funny.
No, you know what?
I'll see.
Make it, yeah. Make it an achievement. Like, just call it Joe's Lonely, and you have to make it lonely. you have to make your controller vibrate for a whole minute.
Yeah. You have to stay on there. Oh, if you stay on there for a whole minute and don't leave and let it vibrate for a whole minute, you get the achievement that says "Oh, so lonely." Like that.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, this has to happen. And it says that you could do 12 speed settings. You could like crank it all the way up using the triggers.
So listen. So in that little stupid one-line joke. There's, you know, so everybody listening, you click on the little fake ad, and now there's a screen full of text where I try to make more jokes about it. And one of the sentences in like, you know, six or eight sentences, one of the sentences says, 12 speed settings go from low and slow to heavy rumble. Well, Sony nice. Didn't like rumble. Sony didn't like rumble either.
Really?
So I had to change that. What does it say right now? It actually says that, right?
Intense rumble action.
Intense rumble action. I couldn't say that on Sony's version. So Sony's version says something different. Like, I can't remember what I put. Like, you know, heavy duty or something like that. Yeah. Couldn't say rumble. Anyway.
Is there stuff you got away with on the Switch that you couldn't get away with on Sony?
They were pretty sticky, too. So first of all, both Nintendo and Sony were like, no way on green. I'm like, what? They're like, absolutely not. You can't do green. I'm like, okay. I said, perfect solution. We'll have Switch Red and Sony Blue. You know, and then
easy enough.
Yeah, then I was like, I can do that. No big deal. And then Nintendo had a couple things too, and I can't remember if I think they might have zeroed in on the controller one also, the Rumble one also. They didn't like that. Maybe they let me say Rumble, but they didn't let me make it look like that controller. They weren't happy about that. I think they might have let me keep 360 though, but
it's like,
they did not let me.
It's such an MS Paint looking 360 design. Yeah, too.
It's pretty bad. Well, that was the thing. When I did the art, I just kind of kept it like real sloppy with the pixel art, just tracing over like the football guy throwing the football and stuff. It's real, you know, janky looking. So just to fit with the theme of it. So anyway, yeah, Nintendo had a few things, but I think Sony was, it's taking a little longer. Thankfully we got it approved on Nintendo, but. And they let us do the pre-order.
So it'll be unique on every platform.
It is. You know, it's pretty, that's kind of cool. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but it's kind of cool. The cool part is it is up for pre-order right now on Xbox One and Nintendo Switch. So, that you know, people can buy it now. It helps me out. It's only $5.99, but it'll also come out September 8th. So
$6. That's really cheap because this, you know, there's the whole joke with the dashboard and all the funny ads and everything else, but there's a solid shooter underneath everything else. Like, tell us more about the shooter.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, like personally, I love shoot 'em ups. I love run and gun, side scrollers, you know, all the shooting kind of games. And so the shoot 'em up, and I always, every single one of our games, I try to do something unique in it. And this one was like one of our smallest games, but I still did something that I'm proud of, and it's very unusual. So it's a score based shoot 'em up. You're just going for the high score, and so a lot of times in a shoot 'em up, you will loop it, and there'll be like loop two, and now it's harder. So the change I made in Game Type DX is you can now loop the game forever, and it will get harder and harder, but it actually gets faster and faster. The entire gameplay speeds up, and so you get up to like say loop 10. It's pretty fast. I've seen people online sharing like early, you know, reviews are sharing or previews, and one dude got up to level 20 or loop 27.
Yeah, there's some ridiculous scores on that. I'm proud to say I'm sitting in third right now.
Nice. And, there you go.
And I'm behind people. Like, I have 55 million, and the two above me have 501 and 732 million. Shit.
Who's at 732? What's
your name? Mike O'Douglas.
Oh, yeah. I saw him on. He's the one probably pushing the loops the most. I didn't know he had got that high already. So the other gameplay,
that's ridiculous for this game. Holy shit. Yeah.
So the thing that makes the game manageable is balancing out the super bomb. So a lot of shoot 'em ups will have a super bomb. You know, it's your oh shit moment. Like, you press it. And so, for instance, the super bomb in a lot of games will clear all the bullets. It'll do a bunch of damage to the enemies on screen, you know, and give you a moment to recover. So GameTop DX, again, this is the other twist, is doesn't have a super bomb per se. It has a thing called the time pulse. And what that does is it slows time down all time in the game. So it gives, but it lets you move around freely. It gives you a moment to recover. So it slows the game time down, slows the bullets down. But then it also lets you use your super beam to destroy enemy bullets and turn them into points. And you can start chaining those things together, getting more time pulses. So if you destroy enough enemy bullets, you're awarded with a new time pulse. And then you also get them at the end of every loop. So basically, like, a strategy is to build up these time pulses. This one guy saves up about 40, he says, before he starts using them. And when the game starts going too fast, you start slowing it down, you know, killing a bunch of bullets, slowing it down, and trying to manage through. So...
I can't imagine getting that far in the game.
Yeah, we'll have to watch his playthrough, right? So that's kind of the idea. Those are kind of the two things at play there, is the speed up that you get going faster and faster, which I actually stole from, do you guys remember one of the Wipeouts? Was it Wipeout 3? One of them had a new mode they introduced at the time called Zone. And basically, you were in the zone, and you just raced around the track like a Wipeout game, right?
Yeah.
And you just raced the track, and every time you hit the finish line, the game sped up. And I just loved it. It was so cool. Because you have to get into the zone. And you're just like one with your car. And at some point, I'm like, you know, level 10, level 15, and it's just blindingly fast. And then eventually you just crash and die.
Yeah, because that game gets like sickeningly fast sometimes.
Yeah, it can. And I just thought that was so cool. So that's what I pulled over to the shoot 'em up version here, is that basically it just gets so fast you can't handle it, but it's like, cool, how fast can you handle, you know? So those are the big changes. Otherwise, it's a pretty solid bullet hell style shoot 'em up. It's not ridiculous bullet count, you know what I mean? I think everybody, you guys, can attest, you can make it pretty far in before it gets to be too much.
Yeah. I think I made it to loop 8 or 9.
Oh, that's a healthy number. Yeah, for sure.
I get to loop 4 and crap out every
time.
There
you go. That's it, Jacob. That's the number. Yeah. As long as you can make it past the third, the boss on level 3. Loop 4, yeah, that's good. Like, it starts to move along. It starts to speed up at a decent, you know, pace at that point.
I know I got the level 5 achievement. I didn't get the 10 one, though.
Oh, yeah,
that's
okay. The thing.
That's what drives me nuts about it, because I'm just like, all right, if I just get to level 5, I can get this fucking achievement, and nope.
Game's so, like,
fuck you every time.
So let me tell you about, I'll just point out the 3 game modes that are in the game. They're all just shoot 'em ups. They're all the same shoot 'em up, but in there's an original mode and a remixed, basically, mode. And what those are sets of levels in a row that are the same every time. And so they're you can memorize them, essentially. You can memorize where all the enemies are. Everything will be the same every time you play. There's a third mode that is the wild card. It's called Surprise, and it's still a shoot 'em up. But the cool thing is, I have about 40 mini level segments, and I only pick about 5 or a couple of them. I stitch those together, and that is what you play, kind of roguelike style. That's what you play that one time you play.
It's a new run every time.
Every time. So if you play Surprise, you might get a fairly easy setup. It depends until it starts to speed up so much. But what I'm saying, Jacob, is you might be able to beat, you know, loop 5 on Surprise mode, or you might be dealt a really hard one. I don't know. Like, it's fairly random. Okay. So you might try that. Give that a try. And the other cool thing about Surprise mode, it's my favorite mode. I mean, like, I definitely like the regular. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the other thing I added to the DX version that wasn't in the original is I added a lot of power-ups. So even in the regular modes, there's power-ups now that there weren't before. There's a gun up, and you can get a free time pulse every so often. Well, in the surprise mode, there's actually a lot of power-ups. They modify. They give you one-ups. They give you more score. They give you more guns. There's also power downs.
Oh.
They will take your guns away. They will take points away. They will take points away. And there's one that will just kill you. And so instead of a one, I thought, well, what's the opposite of a one-up? It's a flying skull. And it just kills you if you touch it. So, yeah. And there's my favorite thing of surprise mode is, you know, I sprinkle out these power-ups, right? And power downs. They get sprinkled through. But then there is a swirling tornado of power-ups that comes out. It's a ball of power-ups kind of shape-shifting and getting bigger and smaller and swirling across the screen. And it's filled with power-ups and power downs. It's very cool. So that's only in surprise mode. I thought, see, the reason is there's some people that are super intense about shoot 'em ups and they want to climb the boards and they want everything to be the same every time, right? Because they want it to be fair and they want to memorize it. So that's what Original and Parkour Remix are about. And then for people that want some more legs to it, like, or just want some more variety, that's what the surprise mode is. And at that point, I was like, oh, well, shit, we can just go crazy. I can just give you all kinds of random wacky stuff, you know, which I thought was pretty fun. So, yeah, definitely try out the surprise mode.
Nice. I will have to give that one a try. I only played the original. I went through it three or four times I was playing. It's sure. Just a blast to play. It's just a fun shooter. Nothing.
Thanks, man.
Nothing to complain about, really. You done good. That. Thumbs up from me. So
yeah, I've been having fun playing it.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Yeah, give the surprise a little try at one point. And also, I'll throw in that there is a two-player mode. Drop in, drop out, two-player. So
Jacob, you got to come visit.
No.
We'll touch tips and then touch ships.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
If only I could use that as a tagline.
I mean, we could.
I think we got an episode title now.
We got the OnlyFans back up and running.
And here I thought I was going to get Sony to let me put the game on their system. If we're going to use that, we're not getting
a fooled you.
Are there sexy games on the Sony, on the PS4?
There's some, but not as much as Switch.
Like, you guys, like, I want to hear from you. What happened? The family-friendly Nintendo has a bunch of weird, I don't know, quasi-porn games on there. What happened?
It's what's up? Crazy. It's
Nintendo's awesome. That's what's up.
It's the wild west of game releases. It's getting to, like, Steam levels where there's just so much shit being thrown at the eShop. It's hard to find good stuff, though. That's the problem. There's just so much.
I think part of it has to do with, like, both the Wii and the Wii U, like, everyone, like, kept knocking them as, like, oh, it's just a kid's thing, blah, 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 blah. So, like, with the Switch, I think they really looked at it as, like, all right, well, let's double down on some adult stuff. Like, I mean, I know Bayonetta came out for the Wii U, but I feel like that was, like, too little, too late kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then we've got Bayonetta 3 coming out this fall, and, like, you know, there's a decent amount of, like, adult-oriented action titles on there that wouldn't have been there like 10 years
ago. They're straight-up titty puzzlers,
Jake. I mean, like, what's the
nudity? I was talking non-titty puzzlers, but yeah.
I agree. I can't help but think of the titty puzzlers because it's like, what's the meme? What meme is most appropriate? I feel like is it... Well, that escalated quickly because they went from kid to almost porn, like on Switch, like, geez, softcore stuff.
They went from, like, you can't say God and have, like, cross imagery in games to, all right, well, if you buy the physical release, you can have tits on your Switch.
I mean, that's nuts, man. That's just okay. Dial it down a little bit. I mean, I don't, or not, it's fine. I just, like, wow, they went way out there compared to the other two. So I don't know. Maybe on Xbox they got
they've
that
done
too.
Good.
Anyway, it surprises
me. What kind of nudity is in game type?
It's a family game. The crabs are nude. So, you know, there's that.
Fuck yeah.
Kinky.
And there's a lot of, there's a cat. The cat is wearing a tie though. Sorry. Unless you're into that. Yeah. I think the cat's wearing a tie. So
business feline fetish. Oh yeah.
That fucking desk blocking all my shots. The shots, what's the difference between the normal shot and the, what is it? A kick shot?
Yeah.
Slap,
so
a kick. I can't tell what's shooting out of me.
Also, the
that
name
happens
of
after
the
Taco
episode.
Bell.
Also, the name of the episode. I can't tell what's shooting out of me.
Yeah, I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, that's a good. That's solid. I can't tell what's shooting out of me. That's the basic shot. Is your slap shot, and it's really good for simple enemies. It shoots out. You can shoot out a ton of bullets. And what happens is you can actually power that one up so that it's more of a spread shot. So that one's really good. That's a slap shot. And then your super beam is called the kick beam because, well, she yells parkour when you do it, you see. So
Parkour.
Yes, parkour. So what happened, the reason she yells parkour, I don't have a good reason to explain it other than the little picture of the woman like on that tile that used to say game type in the old Xbox 360 dashboard. She was doing a jump kick. And she was wearing a hoodie. So anyway, the main girl in our game is called Hoodie Girl. She's Hoodie Girl, and she screams parkour every time you shoot the kick beam.
That's
anyway, yeah, so the super beam in this game, the neat part is if you shoot it at enemies, it is very strong, but also it slows down enemy bullets for a moment. As long as those enemy bullets are in the beam, it slows them down. So it's another way to give you a brief moment of relief there. So
nice. Yeah. So, Jacob, any questions on your end? Aki, any questions?
Nope.
Mine actually got answered because it's like, because I had actually like read the lore at the beginning and I was like, I don't even remember this game on the Xbox, blah, blah, blah. And then now that we've been discussing, oh, it was under the indie stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's why I don't remember it. Because those were fucking hard as hell to get marketed, and it essentially had to be something that went viral. Yep. like that massage game, or I remember Joe pointing out DLC Quest or whatever the fuck was called back in the day.
Yeah, there was but some good stuff. Yeah. But it kind of bubbled up to the top, you know what I mean? If it was,
and then
you know,
Avatar games, everything had to have avatars in
well,
it.
Well, yeah, there was definitely some, I don't know what you would say, like eras, some times on Xbox Live indie games. You know what I mean? There was like the controller time. There was the avatar stuff happening. There was, Race to the Bottom. So everything's a dollar, you know? For a while, early on, it wasn't like that.
Oh,
so.
God. Yeah. The bubble. What was it? Bubble. Shit. What was it? Bubble Drop? What the hell is that thing called?
Avatar
like,
Drop?
Yeah, like
there was Avatar like, Drop.
Yeah, that one. That's
yeah, great. Avatar Drop. Yeah, once they opened up avatars, people really tried to cash in on that. And yeah, they got you know, people do that. Oh, there was a Minecraft thing. There was like Castle Miner Z. Castle Miner Z was a pretty big one. It sold a bunch.
Every now and then I still see people on Reddit like, how can I play Castle Miner Z?
It's crazy, right? They're still into it. So what's funny is I think that was, if I remember correctly, you know, Minecraft had not released anything yet to the Xbox 360. So the other indies filled in, man.
Yeah.
Like it was cool. So yeah, it was, they had some good stuff on there and, we had fun on there.
I noticed you had some shout outs to some actual other indie games and indie publishers. Did you ever think of like getting in touch with them and maybe hiding their games in here as a hidden bonus?
That's funny. I'm actually still friends with a lot of guys on there. If I referenced a game on there, I probably still know them pretty well. So, like, one of my favorite, I just put games I really like on there. So, Escape Goat. There was Escape Goat 1 and 2. That's by Ian Stalker. He's called Magical Time Beam. He's actually released those onto Steam and other systems at this point. So, that's on there. There's a group of brothers called Zona Games. They made a shoot 'em up called Score Rush. And that was pretty. It was a pretty solid bullet hell game. So I put that one in there, just as an ad, you know, that you can click on it. And then another one was Radian Games. He's still making games, by the way. Luke Snyder. He made some nice games, and I think we put. Shoot, I can't remember which one his games on there. We put, but I put one from Radian Games in there too. So Yeah, it would be funny to have the actual games inside there. I don't know if they'd let me do that. Because they actually released their games, so I don't know if they're going to let me do that, but, you know.
Yeah, but so many of them aren't available on current consoles. It would be, or maybe offer them as DLC, like actual buy.
That would be cool, right? Like if there were other new
indie
games
through your indie game.
Like that thing Capcom. Capcom has like an old arcade, you know, kind of a platform. That would be funny. I talked to Kathy Weiss. She like reviews games. I don't know if you guys know her.
Yeah, I work with her. So,
Oh yeah, that's funny. It's awesome. Small world.
Yeah, I'm the head of Indie Gamer Team, which is her offshoot thing.
Wow, there we go. Yeah, nice. She she's been wanting to put together like a collection of Xbox Live indie games, and we just haven't figured it out yet. But it was cool. We talked about it, and I was just like, it would be badass. And I was just like, I love it conceptually. I'm just not the guy for it. Like, I'm not in the middle of it well enough to do it personally. So, but you know, and then the other guy that's real big, Ska Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big deal. He's made several games that have done really well. And he did that, like, Salt and Sanctuary and Salt and Sacrifice games. So those have been big. But he started on, Exploit.
Yeah, started with, I made a game with zombies in it.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that one.
Dishwasher games. Those are really good.
Dishwasher game was really big. Yep.
See, I would love to see games like that that never made it through the backward compatibility program somehow brought to new consoles.
Well, Aki can talk to Kathy. I don't know. I just can't do it. Like, I'm not the best guy for it.
Aki, make shit happen.
I should say, competent. What the hell are you expecting from me?
Get off your stuff and do things.
I said it wrong because James Scott Studios, he didn't start on Xbox. I think he started on Xbox Live Arcade with the Dishwasher, Dead Samurai. That was really cool. That was a good game. But then he did start making games also for indie games, so it was neat. Anyway, I just wanted to correct that. But yes, we all know now that it's Aki's fault that there has not been a collection, and it's up to her to make it
happen. Probably. It's probably my fault.
Fucking Aki.
Fucking Aki.
Yeah.
How could you? Anyway, we've been chatting about the game for a while. Is there anything else you wanted to cover that we didn't bring up?
No, about the game, other than I just, hope there's some old fogies out there that like really old jokes from apparently 2006 that want to check it out,
It's like it's solid humor. It's it obviously is a little dated because it's from 10 years ago.
It's stuck in the past, but so am I. I'm stuck in the past too.
It makes you feel nostalgic, and it's cheap. So
yeah, it's cheap. And we put in some new jokes. Like, for instance, there's like a friends list, and we poked fun at like Cliff Bleszinski and dumb things like that. There's like,
did you have to change any names on that for the other
platform? I did not. Got away with that, so I was pretty proud of that. We made fun of a bunch of silly people there that are really big deals. So
they're like all Xbox people on there too.
Yeah, basically, right? Like, I thought that would be funny, Phil. Yeah. So anyway, I thought like serious Xbox nerds will enjoy those jokes. They're pretty corny Xbox jokes, but I thought they'll like them. So that was it.
Yeah, it was otherwise quality stuff. Where's the friends? Thanks, yeah. Man. Phil Dispenser of Pain.
There you go. I'm like, yes. People, Xbox people like that.
Doom Slayer 69 is a good one.
you gotta have that, right?
Your mom. Give away all the jokes. When is it out? What platforms? How much is it gonna cost? Give us all the info. Big info dump right now.
I think it's a week. It's a week from now, September 8th, next Thursday. Xbox One, Switch, and PlayStation 4 and 5 a little bit after, and it'll be $5.99.
Any enhancements for the series or just Xbox?
Nothing special for the series. We put everything in the whole mode. Yeah, they get all the DX content in both versions. So
cool.
Should work all well over there, though.
Cool. Well, it was awesome having you on. Do you want to stick around and chat news with us at all?
I love you guys, but I got to do family stuff.
Family calls. Hey, family first. We love having you on. What's coming next? When can we get you back?
Well, I am working on a new project. I am looking for a publisher currently. It's still a secret because I want to do a good job when I announce it. So I want to make a big splash with it. So, hey, whenever we figure out what it is, I'll come back on and tell you guys about it.
Awesome. Yeah, anytime, man. Love having you on. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, other than thanks for playing and happy shooting.
Cool. Have yourself a good night.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
See you later.
All right. Jacob, are you sticking around or are you hopping off for now?
I'm hopping off so I could do the interview, but then I'll be back on. And for all of those listeners who, you know, got to have their Thursday dose of me.
Fuck.
So no one.
Aki, you know you love me. And you can't live a day without me.
Feel sick
Joe,
now.
Joe, are you dying in the background?
Yes. Yes, yes, I am.
Your talking gave me cancer. All right, see you all in a bit.
All right, we'll see you soon. Aki, you ready for news?
Sure.
All right, let's go through this. Games with Gold were announced for September. Decent month.
Fucking yeah!
Okay.
Timing was incredible on that, by the way. Thank you so much, No Time, for the sub 41 months. Holy hell. Thank you so much. Love seeing you here. Thank you for the sub.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Carnage rating with a party of one. So we could hear that Jacob clip. But yeah, did you hear about the games with gold?
No, not at all.
Xbox One, we are getting Gods Will Fall and Double Kick Heroes.
I don't have either of those games, and I've heard some good things about Gods Will Fall, but not much. You know, I've heard a couple people say it's good, but I don't even know what that's about, and I've never heard of the other one.
Well, there's two new games for you then. And then for the final month of backward compatibility editions, which is a shame to see this end, original Xbox is getting Thrillville, which I'm happy because I didn't own that one, so that saves me $10.
Nice.
And then the final game will be Portal 2.
Great game.
Yeah, good one to go
probably
out with.
Probably one everyone has, but great game, yeah, nonetheless.
PlayStation Plus also announced their monthly games for September. The monthly games coming out September 6th are going to be Need for Speed Heat, which I thought was a pretty good entry in the Need for Speed series. I thought it redeemed some of the older, shittier ones. They're also getting Granblue Fantasy Versus,
which
is a fighter, and then Toem, which I don't know much about, and I didn't feel like looking
at it. Never heard of that one. So.
People are pissed off that it's a black and white puzzler or a black and white indie game being given away as a freebie. It's like, I would rather have that than stuff I already own.
Yeah, I have no problem with it being black and white. That just is a different visual style. I don't know why people are all pissy about that.
People have to bitch about things, but overall,
sounds
a decent
very
month.
People-y.
They also announced their catalog editions. These won't be added until September 20th. I don't know why they're announcing them now. I think if they're going to announce them at the beginning of the month, they should just add them at the beginning of the month with the monthly stuff. But the catalog editions for Extra and Premium, they're getting some good games. They're getting Deathloop, Assassin's Creed Origins, Watch Dogs 2, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Spiritfarer Farewell Edition, Chicory, Monster Energy Supercross, Alex Kidd in Miracle World, Rabbids Invasion, Rayman Legends, and Scott Pilgrim.
They're getting some fucking awesome shit.
Yeah, there's some good shit there. The curious one is Deathloop.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I did not expect that to just be a free thing.
I wonder if that's going to, because that doesn't hit until September 20th. I wonder if we're going to see Deathloop hit Game Pass before that or around the same time.
I want Deathloop. Yeah. I've wanted that since that came out so bad.
Yeah, it was a year. I think the year is up on, I think, the 14th, they said.
Oh, nice. Hopefully we see it soon then.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Dobie with a rating party of 19. Welcome, everyone. We are chatting news right now. We are talking about the games with gold and PlayStation Plus lineups. Talking about the PS Plus catalog editions for September 20th. The premium games. The premium classics. The thing that everyone paying the big fucking bucks for, right? The classic games. That's what we want, right?
Yeah, sure.
Six totally. Games. That's it, six. Three of them three of them were on PlayStation Now, and they removed them from PlayStation Now when they switched over to PlayStation Plus. So they're just adding them back. The Sly Cooper collection.
Bullshit.
Yeah, the Sly Cooper collection, Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, and Bentley's Hack Pack. So the Sly collection is now back on PlayStation Plus, where it shouldn't have been removed in the first place. And then PlayStation 1 is getting Siphon Filter 2. PSP is getting Toy Story 3. And PSP is also getting Kingdom of Paradise, which was a fairly mediocre launch era RPG for the PSP.
I had never heard of that. So.
it's not amazing.
It's almost like they're trying to sabotage their own fucking thing.
Like the PS1 and PSP classics were what I was excited about with this. And they're just dropping the ball. Three fucking games. Toy Story,
really
Siphon Filter, and Kingdom of Paradise. Kingdom of Paradise is the only one there I care about. Because it's different. It's not something I expected would show up. So I'll give it a go. I'll download it and give it a play. Again, those won't be until the 20th. Something that we won't have to wait for anymore. Rock Band fans no longer have to cry out for more Muse, because for the first time in over 14 years, Rock Band got a Muse 3 pack this week.
Congrats, Joe.
Hell yeah.
God knows that's a you thing.
Hey, you know what's big when I'm actually talking Rock Band news on the show, because I know most people don't care about it anymore.
But, you are correct.
The three-pack is Starlight, Won't Back Down, and Knights of Cydonia. Hopefully we see more Muse in the future, because, you know, we got to keep the rallying cry of more Muse. Seriously, wait, we had one Muse song for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Just that's one.
Not good.
That's why people cried out for more Muse, but it was always a Guitar Hero thing and then a financial thing, and people think Epic is bankrolling some decent DLC because we got Chili Peppers recently, we got My Chemical Romance recently. We've been getting some good DLC, so I'm happy.
Very nice. Good for you.
Yay! Embracer Group has officially completed its acquisition of Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, and Square Enix Montreal, among others. So they own all of that stuff. And to celebrate, did you see their Square Enix's fire sale on their website?
No, I did not.
They were selling, like, Avengers for $4.
I don't think it's worth that much, even.
Guardians of the Galaxy was dirt cheap. I'm mad. I really wanted to grab. They were doing the Earth's Mightiest Edition of the Avengers for $15.
Which is significantly more than it's probably worth.
No, it's 15, but I would have happily dropped $15 for it, except it would have been 25 shipping.
So, oh, Jesus.
Would it cost more to ship than to buy the fucking game?
That's perfect.
Yeah, I couldn't justify dropping 40 for it. But by the time I wanted it, the sale ended anyway. So, oh well. Assassin's Creed Mirage is set to be the next game in the series, with more info coming on September 10th.
Don't tease me. I want it so bad already.
Why?
Because I love Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed's one of my favorite fucking series of games.
You've seen, the shelf above my desk, right?
Probably a couple times. don't point to it and be like, see, looky, looky, because I am playing a game.
Yeah, I can hear you. What are you playing?
I am playing the DLC of Back for Blood right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Because I had not quite finished that, and I'm just trying to get through it solo, I might add. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just posted a picture in the Discord. Which, we have a Discord, by the way. If people didn't know that, we have a show Discord.
Check that bitch out, people.
Drop by our Twitch channel and look for the link to pop up every now and then. I'm not, super hyping it up because there's not a lot of people there yet, but it's a good group of folks.
Which is ironically probably because you don't hype it up ever.
Yeah. Well, I don't want ruffians coming in and and shitting on our parade.
I mean, I don't think you're going to get anyone on there that's worse than me, but okay.
We have Jacob on there. He's already worse.
Okay, well, I stand corrected.
Anyway, yeah, Assassin's Creed Mirage, they're saying it's going to be a return to form for the series. They're apparently getting rid of leveling. It's going to be more stealth-oriented. I'm curious to see where they go with it, but I kind of like the open world RPG of the recent games.
Yeah, I was surprised that I've liked them as much as I do, because I was very much the original, was very much into the originals. Like, my favorite one is still the very first one, just because it was so streamlined and well done. I really liked it. Most people didn't like it because Altair is a boring schmuck, but I didn't mind that so much.
I was so disappointed with the collector's edition for that game.
Oh, what was in it? I never even...
There was a figure in it. It was about 2 inches tall.
Not as nice.
No.
That's kind of...
It came in like a big tin case, and I was expecting, you know, a decent-sized figure being in there, and I opened it up, and this tiny little minifigure is sitting... It's, like, non-posable. It's just a normal-ass, shitty... like toy soldier figure.
Oy,
it was awful. I'll have to send you a picture of that sometime too. But
god awful.
That one was depressingly bad. But anyway, the latest rumor going around is after the purchase of Activision Blizzard is settled, Xbox is planning to possibly release one more batch of backward compatible titles centered around the company. Which I think would be a good idea, because they shouldn't have ended the program in the first place.
I agree.
Restart the program.
Yeah. Restart the program. Give us more free stuff, too. That'd be nice.
I don't care if I have to pay for it. Just give us more games that we could buy on our system from the old eras, or give us more options of... Like, I have 4 shelves of discs that I can't use yet on my Xbox.
Jesus.
Series, like, I have a lot of games for the 360 and can't play a lot of them.
Like, never understand why you can't just put a disc in, why they don't have emulators. PCs have emulators on them. Why
I don't know.
The fucking console itself have it. I don't get that. All the console makers really need to invest in just that, in making software, like emulators and stuff for their things. That way, people can play their stuff forever.
It would be nice, but I don't think we'll ever see it happen. I think money
probably not
is going to speak louder than common sense on this one. But fingers crossed they restart the program, even if it's for, quote, one final batch. Just give us more. Like,
so much more. All the more. Please more.
Give us Alpha Protocol, for fuck's sake. Give us Afro Samurai.
Oh, I would love Afro Samurai. I never played that.
Did you know there was an Afro Samurai 2?
Yep. Never played that one.
And like one person has played it on Xbox because it was canceled like 2 weeks before it was releasing.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's because Monty died. If I remember correctly, he was the main person on that.
No, it was just a really bad game.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently it was so bad they canceled, like it was out on PlayStation. And it was just so bad and so negatively reviewed that they just canceled it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kind of shocks me, because it's not like they were the paragon of being... The first one was the paragon of being that great either.
No, first game was solid. First game was a solid game, yeah.
I've only heard that it was kind of meh.
It was decent enough.
Huh, nice.
Anyway, Sony has acquired Savage Game Studios to bolster their PlayStation Mobile division.
Woo! Good for them. Now maybe they can shut the fuck up about Microsoft, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
Being anti-consumer bullshit. Fucking asshole.
I love that they make this deal about being anti-consumer and exclusivity crap, and then the Hogwarts Legacy has an exclusive quest on PlayStation.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
This shit is so fucking infuriating.
Yeah, they're getting an exclusive quest. Don't know much about it. It'll probably be not much because...
Probably not. Hopefully not. I mean,
it's shitty to do this. This is cut content. Like, they cut stuff from the game and withhold it from the other platforms.
I still remember when they fucking did that Call of Duty whole entire game mode.
For a year.
And by the time that was done, the game was gone and over because everyone fucking went to the next one already.
And look at all the shit they do with Square Enix and all their exclusives. It's just whatever. Hypocrisy is always going to be there. But in more acquisition news, Sony acquired 14% of From Software.
I can't even be upset by that. That company, most of their games are PlayStation exclusive, so I'm not going to be like, oh no. I mean, kind of surprised they haven't just outright bought them. So,
yeah, well, I think they work more with Bandai Namco than they do with PlayStation.
Oh.
Or Activision. Wait, was Activision Sekiro? I can't remember. Too many games. They do have two really solid original Xbox games you can pick up that are backward compatible. The Otagi games, Otagi 1 and 2. They're
never even heard of those.
Ridiculously expensive if you look for disc copies, but you could pick them up for $20 each digital. So I'm going to be doing that eventually.
Nice. So what kind of game is that? Because I've never heard of it.
It's action, or just From Software action. So.
Okay, cool.
Tencent acquired 16% of From Software. So 30% of From Soft was purchased, with half going to Sony, half going to Tencent.
Nice, I guess.
Yeah.
NetEase. We should just welcome our Chinese overlords. Yeah.
NetEase acquired Quantic Dream.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. I was not expecting that.
Yeah. Let's see. You Suck at Parking got a September 14th release date and will launch on Game Pass. That one looks pretty fun.
Not my kind of
game. No, nothing. Sam & Max Save the World and Sam & Max Beyond Time are finally getting a PS4 and PS5 release on September 29th.
That should make a lot of people happy. I know those used to be popular games.
Yeah.
I assume they still are.
Ubisoft news, they are launching Rocksmith Plus on September 6th for the PC with over 5,000 songs available via subscription.
Nice, I think. But
subscription prices aren't too nice. It's $15 for a month.
Ew.
$40 for 3 months or $100 for a year.
Jesus.
And that's to go on top of, like, whatever Xbox Live and Game Pass and PlayStation Plus and all that other fun shit. That's another subscription you got to pay. I don't know if any of your original DLC will work with the game. It's not releasing on console yet, so I wouldn't be able to check on that anyway. 5,000 songs, it sounds really, really good. But I went to their list of songs, and it's like a big database of things, and like every band I was searching for wasn't there. Like Chevelle didn't show up, Linkin Park didn't show up, Metallica didn't show up, even though someone said they apparently have two Metallica songs. It might be different depending on your region, so they might have region exclusive songs.
That would suck. Souls.
Yeah, they said the two Metallica songs that I heard supposedly are what was the one in Stranger Things that everyone was going nuts for?
I don't know. Remember. I've never even seen that show.
I'm too old to remember. Someone in chat will tell me, and I'll be like, oh yeah, my aching back remembers now. But just that's a lot of money for a subscription.
Yeah. Yeah, especially monthly, like, Jesus.
I mean, you could buy a year and save some, I don't know, I would rather buy my songs and own them. Like, yeah. Rock Band, with Muse this week, Rock Band 4 hit 3,000 songs.
Nice.
Muse was 3,000.
And you have almost all of them.
I have 2,997. That's right, I'm missing three. God damn it. Pissing me off.
You should just get in contact with those people. Show them your entire library and be like, hey,
help me.
Happen to just have any, you know, maybe little tiny, you know, keys for these old ones, please, pretty please.
You probably just so don't even exist. It.
Probably not. No.
Gizmo from Gremlins is joining Multiverses next Tuesday.
Well, that's cool. I wouldn't have expected Gizmo in there.
Yeah, especially because they announced Stripe from Gremlins, and now just out of nowhere, we're also getting Gizmo. So
I don't know who Stripe is. So
one of the bad ones with the Mohawk.
Okay. Yeah. Been so long since I've watched.
Yeah, some sad news. Bless Unleashed, the MMO, shutting down November 30th.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a shame for people who played it.
I did. I liked it.
How popular it was.
It was a solid game. I really enjoyed my time with it, but it had that problem that all MMOs do, where you just hit this point where the grind becomes too much. And I gave up, God, I want to say like 40-some levels in, out of like 60 maybe. I don't know.
Freaking close.
I put a lot of time into it. I know that, but... More shitty news is the latest Halo Infinite news. Did you hear any of this?
Yeah, that was not pleasant.
Do you want the bad news, the bad news, or the bad news?
let's start with the worst news and just keep getting worse, yeah.
Season 3 has been delayed until March 2023, so this season is going to last 10 months.
That actually doesn't bother me all that greatly, to be honest.
Well, you know what really sucks? Split-screen co-op scrapped completely.
Yeah, that's the part I had heard about. And that sucks. I don't use it, but I know a lot of people do, and that was one of the really popular things for it. So,
yeah, well, at least really we'll have campaign co-op, right? Online.
Fucking hopefully. I mean, they
delayed until November.
Yeah, I mean, that was supposed to come out when this season fucking came out.
Yeah. It should have been there at launch. It should have fucking been there at launch, and the game was supposed to come out in 2020. So what the fuck is going on, Halo?
Yeah,
Jesus.
There is clearly something going on over there, and they're just not fucking talking about it, and they fucking need to.
Yeah.
People know what the fuck is happening and why all this shit is so fuck.
That's a lot of fucks in one sentence.
I didn't even realize I had said it more than once.
Those fucks are so fucking fucked with their fucking shit, with the shit fucking... It sounds like the beginning of Saints... Have you played Saints Row yet?
No, I have not played the new one, no.
I haven't had
the money for it.
After the first mission of the game, your guy's driving back to his apartment pissed off
that
bonus. And he's just like, fuck, 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 fuckity, fucky, fucky, fuck, shit, fuck, fucky, fuck. I'm like, how... How much does this have to go on? Like, I understand you want to be edgy, but like,
it was hilarious because that is totally Saints Row.
I mean,
seriously? I'm like, that is Saints Row. All they do is make fart jokes, sex jokes, and say fuck a lot.
Yeah.
That is very specifically what they do.
That was just like too much. Like, it was just kind of cringeworthy there.
The actual game itself,
I'm having a blast with.
See, I just keep seeing lots of people don't like it, and I don't understand why. I mean, it's
buggy as hell.
I mean,
but it's a Saints Row game, and they've all kind of been buggy as hell
at this point. So
yeah, I've had some shitty glitches happen to me. A fun one was when I returned a monster truck to my garage, and I spawned below the map.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, so I fast traveled and I was still below the map. So I reloaded the game and I was still below the map.
Jesus.
So I went back to an older save and I was above the map, thankfully. I was thinking
you were about to say and I was below the map. I was about to freak out.
But I did lose the monster truck, so I had to redo the mission to get the monster truck, and I ended up below the map again.
Oh fuck. Maybe there's just something wrong with specifically the monster truck right now.
I don't know, but I saved, I reloaded. It spawned me above the map in my apartment with the monster truck in my garage. So I just took it out, drove away, crushed a bunch of cars.
Fair enough. Have you seen the specialty vehicles yet?
Like what?
Oh, there's some special ones that you find pieces to throughout the game.
I've gotten pieces. I haven't gotten anything complete yet.
You really need to work on that.
Yeah, I've been dumpster diving and checking these big things in the deserts that have pieces on them. I'm working on it.
That's where most of it you'll find. Only one of them is done through the trash, and that's a golden trash compactor or something.
It's ridiculous. It's a Saints Row game. I miss the old crew. I don't necessarily like the new people. I think they're all kind of dorky, a bit too dorky for Saints. Like, Saints used to be cool. These guys are just kind of nerdy. I don't know.
That sucks, because that's something I was worried about. Once they said they were changing the crew, I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that, because I love McKenzie, and taking away Kinsey that's a big fucking no-no as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Is Gat still played by I assume they still have Gat, because if they don't have Gat, they don't have Gat?
Nope. It's a whole new crew.
Thought they'd at least keep him. It's Gat. How do you have a Saints Row game without Gat? What the fuck?
Wasn't he dead in 3?
Kinda, but not exactly.
Like, all of 3?
He wasn't technically dead. Story of that game's entire existence. He wasn't technically dead.
And then they had zombie DLC.
Yeah. And there was Gat Out of Hell. This is one of the reasons why I don't understand how they can have a fucking Saints Row game without Gat. They literally made a Saints Row game purely about Gat.
Yeah.
How do you just remove him? That's blasphemy.
A whole new town, a whole new crew, a whole new scenario. Just everything is new. So you'll see when you play. It still has Saints Row charm. Like, I'm running around in a Saints Row jacket with no pants on.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
No underwear. Just ass out, running around with a little X sensor over my dick.
Yeah, I did play with the boss creator just on a whim one day. I was like, I want to see what this is like. And I noticed something very cool. You can make your, if you play as a female, whoever they're called, you can actually uncensor their top, which was something that kind of shocked me. Yeah, I did not expect that at all.
They have nipples on or off, and they have a forced underwear toggle, which I think there's something fucky, because I would like go into my underwear and turn it off, then go back and then into the bottoms underwear, turn them off, and the tops would pop back on.
Huh.
So I don't know what was going on, but I'm running around, dick out, just shooting people. It's a blast. I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, one of these days they're just going to put full frontal nudity in the game, and I'm just going to be like, because that's clearly what they're aiming for. One can fucking hope.
Oh, man. Well, should we dive into reviews?
Sure.
You got two things to talk about this week. Which one do you want to start with?
Whatever's fine with me. So just toss a coin.
Okay. First game to talk about tonight, Back for Blood, Children of the Worm DLC, developed by Turtle Rock Studios, published by Warner Brothers Games, released August 30th for Back for Blood for $14.99 or as part of the season pass. Children of the Worm features a brand new campaign story, Act 5, that puts you into an epic showdown with a fierce new enemy threat. To help combat this unknown adversary, the expansion will introduce Prophet Dan, a gun-toting, self-proclaimed preacher of the end times, who joins our growing list of cleaners in their effort to save humanity. Aki, what is going on in the new DLC for Back for Blood?
Okay, so yeah, they completely replaced the final act of the main game. At least I'm pretty sure they replaced it utterly and completely with a brand new location, which takes part in a prison. Because, you know, they found Prophet Dan, which just sounds so weird. not against it, but they find Prophet Dan, and he talks about how, you know, a bunch of Ridden had overcome his religious group. I get kind of he's creepy vibes from him, but I get very Joseph Seed vibes from him. He's a really cool guy. And for some reason, your group decides he's on your team out of nowhere for some reason, even though you don't know this dude. But, you know, hey, whatever. And he brings you to basically a prison system. And in this, you're not just fighting against your standard laissez-faire fucking Ridden piece of shit bastards like usual, which are the zombie things. In this, you're also fighting this crazy fucking cult, which have brand new weapons. They actually use weapons. There's someone who throws bait grenades, which obviously attract all the zombies to you because now you smell like good. there's a person who has large claws that do bleed damage, which is something they also added, is bleed damage. Bleed damage fucking sucks. I know, because I've been set on bleed a number of times now. And it's not fun. It's damage over time, and damage over time sucks, obviously. Especially in a game that's not particularly easy.
You said from the beginning this has always been a tough one.
Yeah. At some point, I don't know if it was this update, this DLC gave an update, or if they did another update, just a patch thing, but the AI, your AI, oh, alerted birds, but your AI has seemed to have gotten smarter, and I've played through this on the normal / easy, whatever you want to call it, difficulty, and I've been doing it solo with just bots. And I'm actually doing okay, which, I mean, back when this first came out, no, that wouldn't have happened ever. I would have gotten my ass beat up and down the fucking thing. So that's really nice. But there's two other enemy types, a bow and arrow using person and a sniper. And they are literally a sniper in a game that does not really particularly focus on sniping, so that's very
tough to play.
Yeah. Thankfully, you can still shoot them from a distance, but they have a bright red, you know, scope, laser sight, so it's not too hard to find them. Thankfully, it's just they can be at a distance, and sometimes it's kind of hard to hit at that distance. But as is life. And not only did they add these enemies, they've also added all their weapons. So, you know, you got the sniper rifle, you got the claws, the bait grenade, and the bow and arrow as actual weapons that you can equip yourself in the game. And they do the same things. The bow and arrow is a secondary weapon that uses your stamina instead of ammo. And it is really fucking good. The claws do bleed damage, just like they do to you, you do to them, and they go real fast. They don't do a lot of damage per hit, but oh my god, they're amazing. and then there's Prophet Dan, a new playable character, and he has a special weird little ability that if he's in the party and someone gets picked up, some random thing happens. Sometimes that might be like, oh, suddenly now a bunch of money just drops out of nowhere. Sometimes it's, oh, you get ammo. Sometimes, oh, you get healed to full and all your trauma goes away. Others are like, oh, now a flashbang goes off in your face. Yeah, it's just random stuff because he's magical because he is a prophet. And you actually see that in his little quick introduction, is he actually touches people who are downed and magically heals them instead of being a medic. I really like this update. This has been surprisingly fun. I've really enjoyed this. The first DLC, it was okay. It was just furthering the game. It was okay, whatever. This one, I really enjoy so far. They've added some new cards. I don't really know what any of them do, because I don't really pay attention to the cards themselves all that much. But yeah, you also get some new costumes for most, not all, but most of your characters, which is basically them from before all the events of the game happened. So back when they were normal people. And some of them are really interesting. Like, you got a big buff black guy in here, and his before all the shit happened, he was a skinny little dude in the army. He's like this fucking twig, and I'm like, wow, because he is a fucking beefcake in the game. And then you get like the older lady in the game. You get her young, the punk girl. You get her when she was a high school student, which is really weird. And yeah, it's just, you get all these outfits, and lots of them are actually pretty cool. They've also added to this update another thing that affects your costumes. Originally, you had to beat the game with each individual character in order to unlock a costume for that character that was called Battle Hardened. And then you had to beat it on higher difficulties to unlock another one and another one. But you had to beat it with each individual character. They've gotten rid of that. Thank fuck. Now, instead, once you beat it, you get all of that costume for all of the characters, not just the one you played as and beat it with. Yeah. So I went in there and I saw lots of the battle hardened ones, which is for beating it on the easiest difficulty, because still that's the only thing I've managed. And I was like, so fucking awesome that I can have all these, because so many of them look so cool. I really enjoy this.
Nice. Well, the bundle is, this expansion is $14.99. The bundle is what, $30?
Is this the last piece of DLC coming out for
I don't know. I'm loading up the season pass to see. There will be an expansion 3 coming. So,
okay, I thought there was 3, but I wasn't sure.
The annual pass is $40. It is on sale right now for $20.
Go buy it. Go buy it. That's my verdict. Go buy it. At that price, hell yes. The season pass, totally worth it. The $15 for this alone is worth it. This is really fun. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself, and this game was just kind of mediocre to me when I first started it. This DLC has changed that. This is
so the AI awesome. Improvements really turned it around.
Oh yeah, significantly.
Carnage asking, the game get any easier?
Yes. With the update for these AI, it has seemed to have gotten easier. At least in this DLC, I can't imagine that they made Act 5 easier than all the prior acts.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Act 1, you're still struggling, then you get to Act 5, and it's just cakewalk.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I think they've made this significantly easier, which I am so fucking for, because this game was ridiculous prior, so, yeah.
All right, well, Jacob's back. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
How'd your interview go?
I think it went fine.
Yeah, that was really quick.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't shock me with you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it doesn't shock me with me either. But anyway, it went pretty well. And they were like impressed with my degrees and stuff like that and my experiences. So they're like, oh, okay, we're going to send you a link for our platform and blah, 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 blah. And essentially it's a side gig. Mm. They'll refer some corporations to me for like special classes and stuff like that, but the rest of it's just like the clients, like
do you speak Korean?
No, this is for Koreans trying to learn English so they have a more formal education in it for the business, like, so like when they're talking to clients like and have to use English for it, they're not using slang.
Oh, I would have assumed that you would need to know at least some Korean in order to make sure that they understood you or something.
Well, they are the people I'd be working with already like have like a pretty good grasp of English. It's just they need somebody to iron out like the like, you know, so it's like more formal. So instead of being like, give me the document now, it's like, could you please give me the document for this project or something like that.
Okay. Nice.
So yeah,
sounds like you got to be smart for that.
Not really.
Yeah, I know, which is why they were like, oh, you should have your wife sign up.
I was trying to segue to the game.
Oh. Are you smarter than my wife? Probably not.
Next game to talk about is Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Developed by Massive Mini Team, published by THQ Nordic, released August 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Based on the popular TV franchise, this charming couch co-op quiz game for 1 to 8 players will have you face more than 6,800 fully English voice questions. Prove how much you still know from high school and that you are in fact, from school, not high school. Prove how much you still know from school and that you are in fact smarter than a fifth grader. Jacob, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
I was once.
Once? Nice.
Once.
Nice.
I unlocked it last night. I unlocked that achievement last night. Usually I kept crapping out between like third and fourth grade. With the questions. So
what's going on in this game? How's it hold up digitally?
I hate to say this, but you could probably beat me, and that just is shameful for me.
Well, see, it's kind of weird, and I'll get to that. So the whole premise of the game is that it asks these questions that are supposedly what is being taught, you know, to grade school kids in America nowadays. And you start off at first grade and advances, and like they get a little bit harder, and then you get to the quote unquote sixth grade where that'll prove whether or not you're smarter than a fifth grader. And on each grade, except for the final round, sixth grade, you have a kid helper, and each one of them like specializes in certain stuff. And so each round you have a chance of like, you have like usually 3 or 4 different options for like what kind of question. It could be like vocabulary, geography, history, reading, stuff like that. And so each of these kids has their own strength, and they'll tell you if you decide to sit through the introduction. And they'll be like, hi, I'm like Javier. Like, I'm great at like chemistry and math, or like, I'm Lisa. I'm great at vocabulary and I don't know, man,
that bitch like Lisa
measurements or something. that's an actual topic. It's like how many gallon, like, you know, how many cups make like 6 1/4 gallons or something like that, which I got wrong the first time, but because I haven't had
I don't blame you for that. I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, a lot of it's like shit I hadn't thought about in like forever. And of course, that's like the whole point of the game, because it traps you on like stuff that either you haven't had to think about, or like it completely blindsides you because you're like, oh, well, you know, it's asking like where on this map is Greece? And it's just like this huge map of the entire world. And yeah, you could zoom in, but like, yeah, the first time I got the question wrong, and I was like, this map is not exactly the best thing. But one of the neat things about this game is that they actually take the time to make it so, like, I mean, they fully understand that some people are colorblind, and or, you know, and so you can actually have an option where it will remove any questions that have to do with like specific colors or being able to see colors.
Well, that's awesome.
There's also one, I forget what the other option is for being able to take out stuff. And then there's another one, because they realize that the USA is not the center of the world, where you can actually take out the USA centric questions. Because, you know, it's just like one of them was like, Seneca Falls, like for women's rights and stuff like that, the convention, where is Seneca Falls? Like, you might know where, like, oh, it happened in the United States, but you don't, like, where in New York State did it happen? Like, that might be a little harder for some people. So I thought that was neat. And the other thing I thought was really nice is that there is multiplayer in the game, but it's all offline. And usually, you know, I'm the one bitching, like, ugh, how come it's not online? Like, it's 2022. But ideally, this is a kid's game. And frankly, yeah,
I don't think this would work well online.
I mean, it could, but the thing is that do you want your, like, the thing I like about this is that it is a game show that my kids could play, and I wouldn't have to worry about who they're playing with, because you can't play with anybody else online. It's all couch stuff. And one of the nice things, too, is that the game makers also realized, like, some households are only going to have one controller. And so you can have eight people playing off of one controller, and you just passing around the room.
Oh, that's good. I like
that. I thought that was really nice of this. So that being said, like, there are some issues, and it's almost all on voice acting. Holy crap, everybody's annoying. Yeah. And like
that was one of my big takeaways from watching someone stream the game, was I wanted to punch every child in the face.
Oh my god, and the hosts, like, they're all terrible, and, like, yeah, you can skip it, but, like, it's not quick enough for the skipping, and it's just, oh my gosh, I just wish that there was a way that you could just, disable all the dialogue, because I don't want to hear the hosts, I don't want to hear the kids, come on, I want to lose this game as fast as possible. So like, as you progress, like, you can also unlock other stuff. Like, you can unlock avatars, and, like, you can unlock special, like, outfits for the kids. Like, so far I've only unlocked one of them. But, like, I think the kid's name is Eli. He, like, specializes in chemistry because, you know, he's in second grade or some shit, and he specializes in chemistry. I don't believe this. But anyways, he has, like, an outfit that is dressed up like a mad scientist kind of thing, and, like, I know that there's one kid that has, like, a scuba outfit. The only reason why I know that is because you can see the outline of it, and I know what I'm at least smarter than a first grader to know what, like, a scuba outfit looks like.
Proud of you.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, as a trivia game, it's fairly solid, and, like, it moves quick enough if you can get past all, like, the annoying dialogue. But yeah, otherwise I was having a pretty good time. Like, I wish that that you were able to remap certain stuff. Because, like, when they would ask true or false questions, they would give false as, like, the first, like, answer, and then true as the second one. And, like, it took me a bit to remember, like, oh, okay, so they're actually giving me false first, then true. Cause I kept hitting the X button for true instead of false.
Don't pay attention.
No, like, it's honestly, it should be, it's not called false or true. It's called true or false.
I have to agree with Jacob for once, as much as I hate it.
And, I had an issue with some of the map ones. Like, I wish it could zoom in a little bit more. But yeah, otherwise, honestly, I thought it was a fairly solid title, especially, like, compared to some of the other game show stuff that I've played in and or reviewed for the show. Like, I'm looking at you, Trivial Pursuit, and Monopoly. As I said, I thought this was a pretty solid title. It may stump your kids more than, you know, because, I mean, obviously they're trying to make it kid-friendly and engaging. I don't know whether my kids are really ready for it, but
I don't think most adults are ready for the questions this thing poses. I don't know where the fuck they get their fucking fifth graders, but 90% of the questions I saw in that show were bullshit.
From what I understand, a lot of these kids are also, like, gifted kids, like, who are studying beyond being, like, in fifth grade and stuff like that, and it's like, that's how they know all this kind of stuff.
Okay, so really, is it, are you smarter than a collegian? And the answer is typically fucking no. They just happen to right. be young. Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, there were questions where I was just like, what the fuck? I didn't even learn this till high school. Like, why the heck is this kid like, ooh, I know the answer. Like, shut up.
No, you don't, you dick.
Yeah, like I'm trying to remember what like some of the like they're asking about Ralph
Nader.
Ralph Nader.
The only Ralph I know, and I don't even know who that is.
They were asking a question about Ralph. No, that's
Wiggums.
No, oh my God, shut up!
I'm trying to help you, schmuck.
By Ralph Ellison. They were asking a question about Invisible Man, and like they were like, "Oh yeah, this is a question for fifth graders." And I'm like, "What? Like, what fifth grade? Like, what fifth grade class is teaching this book?" Like, no.
Yeah, I didn't even read that through high school, even.
Yeah.
That was something I read for myself much later.
And, like, and some of the stuff, like, with literature were, like, book series I had never even heard of. And, like, I went off and looked them up, and it was, like, these were books that were out when I was a kid, but I was just like, what? No. Like, no first grader is going to know about the Phantom Tollbooth. Like,
oh, the game's sitting at $30. What are your thoughts?
Sounds like that's a hard pass to me.
No, it's not a hard pass because it's just because I know what this genre is like, and compared to the other ones, this one's actually pretty good. But I'm a bit of a cheap ass, so it like I'd be more comfortable with 20, but 30, I'll give it a yeah, okay. Sure. I mean, I'd recommend the game. I don't know if I'd really go with the $30 price tag.
That was a try it.
Yeah, and I did see that there is DLC that adds like another 3,000, I think it's like 3,600 questions or something like that.
Available for, I think, $9.99.
Yeah, $10. Which, yeah, I don't know. That was another thing, too. Like, I know I haven't blown through all the questions yet, obviously, because it's like 6,000 questions for this thing. But, like, that grease question has already come up twice. So, I don't know if it's a little messed up on that end, but whatever.
I don't know. Anyway, we got more games to talk about. The next one, we are getting into sports ball territory. George, take it away.
And now for Sportball Shenanigans with Dingleberry Jones. I mean, Jacob Garner on the SML podcast. We tried to get Bob Costas, and he was all like, fuck no.
That is right. Sportsball Shenanigans time with Matchpoint Tennis, developed by Taurus Games, published by Calypso Media, released July 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $49.99, PC for $39.99. The season starts now. Grab your racket and become the world's next tennis champion. Your opponent is on the court and the crowd waits for a promising challenger for the grand finale. Are you ready for Matchpoint? Jacob, were you ready for Matchpoint? Because I wasn't.
No, not exactly. So are you leading this one or am I?
Yeah, whatever. Just tell us about the game. What is Matchpoint Tennis?
So, like, I don't want to say it's like every other tennis game out there on the market. Because, I mean, that is an insult to Sonic and Sega All-Stars Tennis. Truly the greatest tennis game of all time.
Not backward compatible. Xbox.
I know. Yo, I wish it was. Anyway, so it's a standard tennis game. Like, they've like licensed a bunch of people I've never heard of, mostly because I don't follow tennis. And thankfully, like, it has a pretty decently in-depth tutorial thing going for it. So for me,
it teaches you all the different shots you can make, like the slices and the lobs, and it's pretty comprehensive in teaching you all of that. It's my issue was actually doing it in practice.
Oh yeah, and like thankfully, like there's, you know, like there's a nice little practice mode to go along with it in case like you really want to try harder before going out on the court and stuff like that. And oh crap! I forget what the. Well, whatever. I was gonna say, like, I could have sworn I used to play a tennis game back on the Xbox, original Xbox, but I can't remember what the heck it was. Yes, Topspin. Oh man, I miss that game. Anyway,
What made you bring that up?
it just reminded me a lot of Topspin. Like, it's just, and the thing is that it's just like I don't know that this game was much better than it. I mean, it, like, yeah, sure, it was competent, and, like, it, I appreciate how much it taught everything, but it's just, like, in practice, it felt kind of sluggish, like, running across the court. Like, it really felt like it didn't matter what shot I kind of did, because just about everything, like... I'm not actually, I should take that back. Not just about everything, but I would say about half of my shots were out no matter what.
Yeah, it was way too easy to shoot out of bounds or to hit out of bounds on this game. I know when you hit, there's a little silhouette on the court that you have to pay attention to. And it seems like no matter what I did, I would just always go outside the line. And I don't know if it's like a sensitivity issue on the analog stick. I don't know if it's a Joe is stupid issue, which is very possible.
Well, that also means Jacob is stupid. So
it's two for one. It's
that's we already legit. Knew that though.
It's yeah. like playing doubles.
Yeah. Which you can.
Yeah. But, and then it's just like, you can go on to like championships and stuff like that. And like, I don't know.
I did terrible in the championships. Yeah, like it starts you off in the final round of a big championship and you're supposed to prove your medal. I got blown out, and then I went to an amateur thing and I got blown out, and then I did yeah. some more training, and I did an ace or I did a service ace training thing where I nailed 25 service aces in like 3 minutes. And it boosted my serve by a whopping 3 points. I felt so deflated after I just destroyed this fucking training thing. I missed like one shot because it hit the net. Everything else, I was a fucking ace. And I got so little of a stat boost from that. It was so demoralizing.
Yeah. And it's just... I don't know. It never felt like it mattered who I played as, what kind of court I played on. Like it felt the same every single time. Like, and it, like going back to the Topspin, like, you know, which is a game that is now at least 15 years old, like at least,
probably 20.
Like, it felt like that thing was like, it handled like a feel of an actual like tennis match better than this. And it's just, I don't know. Like I wanted to like it. It looked nice.
Ugh. Geez. 2003.
And it's like the guts are there. Like, it's not like it's an incompetent game. It's just, it needs a lot of tweaking. And yeah, like how'd you do with multiplayer? I could rarely ever find a game.
I wasn't able to find a game either, although I was trying at like midnight, so that was probably my issue.
What time do tennis people play at?
I don't know.
Huh.
Not a lot of people are online at midnight, though.
That's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I couldn't find anything, but I mean, the mechanics are sound. The AI, despite most being on amateur, is just ruthlessly destructive to my ego and to my self-pride. Yep. For $40, what are your thoughts?
I'd give it a try because it's on Game Pass. Or wait.
Very true. It is on Game Pass.
The thing is that it's just like, I feel like there are better tennis games out there. I mean, I haven't played them.
I don't think there's better tennis games out there. I mean, that's not saying this is an amazing tennis game. It's just the selection of tennis games out there is just so mediocre and lackluster.
How is it that like we had better selections like 20 years ago?
Like Rockstar Table Tennis.
Because your standards were lower.
Oh, God. Yeah. Rockstar Table Tennis. I forgot about that. My old roommate John and I almost got into fist fights over that game. Holy shit.
Nice.
God, that was the gold star of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. Anyway, next game to talk about is Arenas of Tanks, developed by Petite Games, published by Rattleika Games, released April 19th on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. Fire up for fun with Arenas of Tanks, a tactical toy tank game. Use skill and strategy to defeat enemy tanks and upgrade your team. I want to say that's supposed to be August 19th, and I wrote April for some reason. I'm a genius.
No, you're not. We've proven that time and time again.
August. Released August 19th, not April. Thanks, autocorrect. I'm going to blame you. Jacob, what is Arenas of Tanks?
So this one is a top-down shooter where you get you're in a tank, obviously, and you get dropped into this arena, which has other tanks. An arena of tanks. So you so pretty much you just like there's different modes. One of them's kind of like a grab the orbs kind of thing, which is kind of like Pac-Man. And you can't fire your weapon either, which I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. And then there's like one just like last as long as possible. There's also one where you could just take on nothing but bosses and stuff like that. And that's the arcade stuff. There's also challenge ones, and the challenges are really just like, you know, score this many, survive this many waves, beat the boss, all that kind of stuff. Fairly standard. Like, there's not, like, when you look at it that way, there's not a lot to it. But what's really cool about this game is that as you go through the arcade mode, as you're trying to last as long as possible, you collect all these, like, little bits of scrap off of all the enemies that you've destroyed. And you can use the scrap to help improve your tank and also buy ally tanks. And you can have up to 5 AI tanks that will, like, just mill about the arena and like try not to get blown up themselves with varying amounts of success as you keep going through the game. So not only do you need to keep improving yours, you also have to if one of them gets blown up, you're going to have to replace it, because each wave obviously gets more like crazier. Eventually you're going to be facing up against tanks that have these like heat lasers that like take out an insane amount of damage on you and stuff like that. And I was a little disappointed that like it's not like you could just keep upgrading your tank and like the stats will stay. Like, I wish that there was a feature for that, but whatever, I get it. And then it's tied into like a score multiplier for like however long you last and how often you keep blowing up other tanks. And so you're just really just trying to get as high of a score as you possibly can. Like, as I said, there's not much to the game, but
yeah, it doesn't look like it's a very deep experience, but it is only $5. So what do you think?
And it is pretty entertaining. And also for you achievement whores out there, it's going to take you like 30 to 60 minutes to knock out 1,000 points.
Woo-hoo! Nice.
So yeah. So for $5, yeah, it's worth it.
Cool. All right, next up is Rick Henderson, developed by Fat Pug Studio and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released August 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $7.99. Paying homage to arcade classics and wrapped in nostalgic 16-bit graphics, Rick Henderson is an endless horizontal scrolling shoot-em-up with unlimited replayability. Twitch your fingers through 5 enemy factions and their bosses, upgrade your ship, and try to survive unpredictable space events. Jacob, what is Rick Henderson?
So, yeah, it's pretty much just as you described. You start off the game with 3 different pilots that you can use in their ships, which have various power-ups and like abilities and stuff like that. And you have 3 different weapons. Like, one of them is just like a standard bullet and it deals the same amount of damage to whatever. You'll have like a special like laser kind of thing, which like defeats like shields. And like it'll deal 2 times like the damage to the shields, but only half of the damage to armor. And I might be getting that wrong. It might be reverse that, but whatever. And then you also have missiles, which, you know, will deal like 2 times damage to armor, but then nothing like 0.5 damage to shields. And so you have to like constantly keep switching between your weapons as you're going through this in hopes of defeating everybody. You just keep going and going and going. And, you know, hopefully you'll be able to knock the shit out of everybody. It's honestly pretty entertaining. There were a couple of times where I was like, oh man, this is kind of bullshit. But at the same time, it's not. It's just you have to get used to the game mechanics, and that can take a little bit, especially when you're like, it wasn't the easiest to determine like what had a shield and what was armored. And so, like, I'd be like, oh, why is this not doing any damage? And it's just like, well, you need to switch over to the other weapon, dumbass. And then, of course, everybody also has, like, a power-up kind of thing. Like, one guy, like, he'll just send out, like, a barrage of missiles, which sounds awesome on paper, but rarely is as helpful as you want it to be. I forget what the other two guys are. Because I mostly used, like, the insect-looking guy. And then eventually there are other pilots that you can unlock and stuff like that. So there is a lot of replayability for this game, and I was pretty impressed with it, honestly, for that $8 price tag. Especially for, like, a game that, like, doesn't exactly tell you what it is. Like, this is a very uncommon game title.
Yeah, it's deeper than the surface shows.
Yeah. And so I'd recommend, like, I mean, I'd recommend it as a buy it. And if you're unsure, like, and you like shmups aren't exactly, like, you know, your cup of tea, it's at least a try it on that, but I would say buy it.
Cool. All right. Well, there's one last game to talk about, so I'm not going to let you leave yet. Justin Wack and the Big Time Hack, developed and published by Warm Kitten, released August 23rd on Steam for $19.99. Cozy 2D point-and-click adventure featuring multiple playable characters and plenty of silliness. Oh, and there's time travel and relationship stuff going down, too. And robots, lots of robots. Aki, what's going on in Justin Wack and the Big Time Hack?
Okay, this is a point-and-click adventure game. And I suck at these, so be prepared. In this, you play as the titular Justin Wack. And I kept, every time I tried to remember the name of this, I kept thinking Justin Wick, but then I couldn't think of what the hell the ending of the name was. I'm like, that's not right, because can't remember the rest of the title from that. But you're just some office drone. You're a go nowhere schmuck. And you open up.
Jacob.
God, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but worse than Jacob.
Ooh.
That is so painful to say. But yeah, no, this dude's boring, kind of like Jacob. But he can't even get a girl. Somehow Jacob managed that. I don't know how, but he did. Matter of fact, Justin loses the girl within, like, the first, like, 2 minutes of the game. So, because she likes cats. I don't know how the hell you manage that, but sure.
I don't either, trust me.
Lots of drugs.
Rude, I don't like that implication.
I mean, I'm sure the only way she can put up with you is to get high, but...
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, exactly. but... He somehow opens a portal to prehistoric times where dinosaurs and people live in this game, even though he mentions people and dinosaurs did not live at the same time. And when he goes over there and just looks around, because he's told to by his boss, a caveman jumps through the portal, making the portal disappear. So now Justin Wack is stuck in the past and the caveman is stuck in current day. And they both have to figure out the world that they're in. Justin needs to figure out a way to get back and to get his girlfriend back. And the caveman has to figure out how to survive in this world and not go back. But upon opening a portal, because they did not have permission from, they are being hunted down by robots. Not particularly smart robots, mind you, but robots nonetheless. That want to murderize you for it. And yeah, the whole game is just that, just them dealing with the people from the future and trying to get back to their own times. And obviously Justin getting with the girl that I really hope doesn't happen. no offense to Justin, but he's a schmuck. this game is split in between three different acts. The first one, the two characters are split up. In the second one, they are able to communicate, so they end up being able to help each other across time instead of being each on their own. This game deals with talking dinosaurs, Neanderthals, futuristic robots. You name it, it's probably in here somehow. There's even aliens in it, for sake's sake. So... Yeah. This is, if you have a walkthrough, you can probably beat this game in like, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours. Without it, it really depends on how good you are. I mean, I think I've put over 10 hours in this, and I'm still in Act 2 of 3, because I suck at these. But yeah, if you're good at this, it's probably not going to take you too long. This is an average sitting game. Everything is voice acted.
Nice.
And all the robots kind of remind me of Sean Connery.
Why?
Just because the way they talk, the inflections and stuff they have, is all, it's just Sean Connery to me. Oh, immediately, Lord. The moment one of them started talking, I was like, Sean Connery. Not I'm Sean Connery, Trebek. But yeah. It's great. But every character is voice acted. And yeah, it's, I really like the art style in this.
Yeah, I like it too.
This is not one of the easier point and clicks, because there are some points where it has nonsensical stuff, kind of like ye old, point and clicks did, that I never understood and couldn't complete. Like I can't complete Monkey Island. That's how bad I am at these, and it just doesn't make enough sense. This game sometimes reaches about those levels of absurdity, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Because I just, my brain doesn't work that way. I didn't grow up on these. If you grew up on these, it's probably not too bad, would be my guess.
Oh, but it's $20. What do you think of it?
I would say this is a tentative try it. Because I think people who like point and clicks, this will probably drive with. For everyone else, it's kind of up in the air, because this isn't one of the straightforward ones.
Cool. All right. Works for me. All right. That is it for the episode. We made it through. Jacob, I made you stay till the end. What do you think of that?
It's the first time he ever got to see the end.
No, I've been for the end of the show before.
Does it hurt your soul that you're still here?
It should.
No.
It should. Yeah, it really should.
I mean,
the fuck is wrong with you?
I can pretend that I'm hurt.
Okay, yeah, do that. Do that.
Oh, no. I have to listen to Aki.
Oh, stop doing that. That sounds disgusting. Don't stop.
Aki. Oh,
yep, no, I took off my headset. I don't need to hear him.
I want to hear that disgust in your voice.
pick.